this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hi everyone, this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show and also the PCOS Challenge support network at PCOSChallenge.com. I'm excited to announce the upcoming PCOS Challenge Expert Series. As always, PCOS Challenge is dedicated to bringing you great life-changing information from leading experts about PCOS. The first webinar in this 5-week PCOS Challenge series begins October 20th, 2009 at 8 p.m. and Eastern Time, and it features registered dietitian Monica Woolsey. Here are a few words from Monica.
This is registered dietitian Monica Woolsey. Are you a woman with PCOS who is struggling to make the right nutritional choices? Are you confused about how many calories you need and the best types of food to eat? Maybe you've tried many types of diets, but it's failed, and you're now frustrated and would like to learn how to make better food choices. Join me for the PCOS Challenge Expert Series Workshop, Nutrition Essentials for Polycystic Ovary Syndrome, on Tuesday, October 20th, 2009, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will finally gain a better understanding of the foods that work best with your body as a woman with PCOS.
To learn more about PCOS Challenge Expert Series, the featured experts, and to sign up for the workshops, go to www.pcoschallenge.net. Today we're going to have another exciting and informative show. Our featured guest is Diane Kress. Diane is a registered dietitian and is the owner and director of Nutrition Center of Morristown, New Jersey. She has specialized in weight reduction and diabetes management for over 25 years. As a respected nutrition expert, she researched, designed, and successfully implemented the Metabolism Miracle with thousands of her clients who have Metabolism B. She authored the book, The Metabolism Miracle, which documents a lifestyle which was made especially for people with Metabolism B. The Metabolism Miracle is now a New York Times bestseller. Let's find out more about Diane and why this book is such a hot item and how it can help women with PCOS. Diane, welcome to the PCOS Challenge radio show.
Hi, Sasha, and thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited that you're here. I read your book, and I am excited to share what I've learned from you, from the Metabolism Miracle, and I think this is important for women with PCOS and other women with your quoted Metabolism B, and other people with Metabolism B to find out what you have to offer in this book. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna go. I'd like you to introduce yourself to first to get comfortable with you.
Okay.
I see that you have these credentials. We hear RD, CDE, and all these different things, and I think some of us get confused as to what those acronyms mean. So would you be able to share with us what RD and CDE means?
Sure. Those credentials are used, sometimes when you hear someone speak about nutrition or, medical nutrition, they call themselves a nutritionist. And then
right.
You'll hear other people speak, and they're calling themselves registered dietitians. RD stands for registered dietitian. I guess if you wanted a counterpart, it would be like a registered nurse. So my background, To become a registered dietitian, you go to your undergraduate degree is usually in nutrition or biology, and then you would go on for a master's in nutrition primarily, and then you would go through an internship, and then you would finally take a test and pass the test to get credentialing as a registered dietitian. So it's a degree that and a title that carries a lot of weight in terms of the academics behind it. CDE means Certified Diabetes Educator. If you're a person with diabetes and you're looking for the most updated information on how to treat the disease, if you look for an educator with those initials after his or her name, you know that they have specialized in the field for at least 2 years, and then they've passed additional testing on diabetes management. So basically, the credentials RDCDE ensure that the person that you're getting information from is a specialist in that area and knows and keeps up with the latest information.
Okay. And you have a practice called medical nutrition therapy. What exactly is that?
So what I've done with my RD is that I decided to practice in medical nutrition, which means if you come to my office would ask you to bring current lab work with you. And I would look at your medical condition coming into our session and compose a program, diet, exercise, lifestyle, wellness, that encompasses all the issues in your medical history and helps you to be able to make positive differences in your health through what you eat and how you live. And in doing that, sometimes a person is able to control their health and be in great health with as little medication as possible. So I see patients with PCOS, that's, a medical condition. I see patients with diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, and through diet choices and lifestyle choices, they can actually make major improvements in their overall quality of life without medication. So it's using nutrition as medicine, basically.
Wow, okay. And that's really how I think that it should be. Everyone should have, in order to combat many of these medical conditions, nutrition is one of the first things that your medical doctor will tell you to change or pay more attention to.
What's difficult, though, is oftentimes a patient will go into their physician, and the physician will say to them, you really need to lose some weight, and that's as far as it goes. And when it comes to people with a condition like PCOS, women with PCOS, the idea, just go lose some weight, has tremendous weight to it because I have PCOS also. We are people who, on a traditional diet, find it almost impossible to lose weight and keep it off. So when a physician says, you would have an improvement in your symptoms of PCOS if you drop 10 pounds, to someone with normal metabolism, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. To someone with the metabolism of a woman with PCOS, that is beyond a challenge. In fact, in most cases, it can't happen with typical calorie in, calorie out diet.
Oh, that's something that myself and so many other women with PCOS and women on PCOSChallenge.com deal with all the time. We follow these diets, or we think we're following mm-hmm. nutritional guidelines that are best for us, and we may lose some weight, but eventually it comes right back.
And that, I just want to say that when I got into nutrition 162 years ago, no, I'm kidding, when I got into nutrition when I was a young woman, it wasn't because I had this overriding love for dietetics. It was because in my teens, unbeknownst to me, I had PCOS. At the time I was growing up, there was no definition PCOS. All I knew was I felt awful. I was depressed. I had anxiety. I had this very strange weight around the middle. It didn't matter if I ate or didn't eat, if I exercised or didn't exercise. That belly wasn't leaving. My periods were irregular. So nowadays we can say, all right, with the right testing, we would know you had PCOS. I didn't. So I got into nutrition because I thought, well, obviously I'm missing something for my own health, and I started to research, and it interested me. I didn't get an answer as to how to take care of my body, and I am pretty much a well-known dietitian who, you know, I've taught thousands upon thousands of patients through the years. I didn't get the answer for how to treat PCOS and what I call metabolism B until 10 years ago. So many years of my career, I spent teaching the traditional diets with calories, low fat, low cholesterol, increase your exercise. And I noticed almost half of the patients I taught that had weight issues would not be able to keep weight off on a program like that. It would bounce right back.
Yeah, I read in your book where you said sometimes you would think, oh, well, are they telling the truth? And I'm sure everybody's had to deal with that, where doctors or other experts would kind of accuse you of not writing everything down.
But you know what? I kind of sat in a different place. We were taught, as a dietitian years ago, when we were, you know, taught how to teach, we were told that you figure out the calorie requirements for the patient and then take their diet recall. And if their diet recall shows that they should be losing weight and they're not, that they are not telling me the truth, and I better grill them from another angle. But I was very shy then, because what I would do now is I would raise my hand and say, wait a minute, that is how much I eat, and I don't have a thyroid problem, so why is it that I'm not losing weight? I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. And, you know, we're coached, and I'm sure physicians are coached too, to believe that calories in, calories out fits everyone, and if it's not working, you're not telling the truth. And that gets me riled up to this day, because for so many people break down and cry in my office every day, not from boredom, no, but because they realize that someone understands them. And for once, somebody is listening to what they're saying. And
absolutely.
I want to get the word out so that health professionals realize that what's wrong with the body of a woman with this metabolism is a hormonal imbalance, and it's not necessarily a calorie gorge.
Right. I did read in your book where you said losing weight is not based entirely on the calories consumed.
Right.
It's based on proper regulation of blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. And it all comes down in our body. It comes down to the hormone insulin. So the thing about hormones, hormones regulate all of the processes in the body. But the way hormones work is they work off each other. So if the hormones are in balance, the body works properly. But if one major hormone is off, it will throw off a chain reaction. And in PCOS, honest to goodness, the main hormone that is off is insulin. Mm. And insulin throws off the androgens. And the androgens are the hormones, they're the male hormones that the ovaries produce. And the androgens are responsible when you over-release them for the, you know, excess growth of hair and no ovulation and weight around the middle. But if you don't get your insulin regulated, you're never going to get the androgens regulated. You're only band-aiding things with metformin, which, you know, has to do with insulin, and birth control pills. And they're just kind of playing games. But the big gun is insulin.
Yeah.
So you fix the insulin, then you work from there.
Yeah, and I think that's a great strategy. And it it makes a difference to know, like you said earlier, that someone understands. Someone understands what's going on in your body, and someone understands that everything else you've tried and that you have been trying, for one, everything else that you've tried has not worked. So something has to change. Something has to be wrong.
Something's wrong, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with the patient, you know?
Absolutely.
If I see 100 women and 45 to 50 of them can't succeed no matter what they do on a traditional diet, and they're here when they come to see me, they're this pretty intense place. You're not here for fun. And, you know, you're telling me I'm doing everything and it's not working. I know that as soon as I meet this woman from her lab work, I know by looking at it and looking at certain numbers, if she's got this metabolism with an insulin problem, fix that. It is a very smooth ride. Don't fix it, and you're not really going to be able to get control of the other hormonal problems that are off.
And right.
I think that's being really overlooked.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm especially excited that you've put this book out, because a lot of people are responding to it. And that's evident because it's on the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It's just the best thing in my life that I was able to get the program out to the public, because I worked on it for over 10 years, and I've done it with over 3,000, now it's close to 4,000 patients. I know it works, but it was important for me to be able to get it to someone in Wisconsin that could also change their life. And honestly, of all the diets I teach, and I'm a generalist, I do teach for everything, this is one of the most basic programs I teach. It's not complicated. You have to look to the foods that stimulate insulin and give your body a rest. And so the program itself has three steps to it. It's not just this is what you do. When I meet someone with PCOS and I look at their lab work, I can see that they've got metabolism B. They will have it because one is the other. If you take this person and it's about 2 months, 8 weeks, you rest the pancreas by taking a very gentle approach to lowering carbohydrate. It's not a carb-free diet. It's a lower-carb diet. And give the pancreas a break. 8 weeks later, if you methodically reintroduce carb, not just, okay, now it's time to put the carb back in. You have to work with the body. The pancreas and the liver respond, and the person's able to continue losing weight even with carbohydrate back in. And that's the big difference. Most low-carb diets, as soon as you put carb back in, you're back to square one. This one,
right?
This one's designed to match the pancreas. It's pretty easy to do, but extremely, it really does the trick. And within 8 weeks, 2 months, a person sees tremendous difference in their fat composition on their body, cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, and the symptoms of PCOS. Just last night, I got an email from a woman I don't know, but she read the book and followed the program and told me for the first time in her adult life, 2 months in a row, she got her period on time. For the first time in her adult life.
Isn't that amazing?
I got to tell you, for me, sometimes I read these late at night when I'm home, the email from people that are reading the book, and I just sit there and I think, oh, thank goodness, because to be able to affect that with lifestyle is like a gift. It's really a gift.
It is. It's truly a gift.
Yeah.
It's truly a gift. Diane, we have an international caller, so let's not keep him waiting.
Okay.
Hi, do you have a question for Diane?
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, who's this?
Carissa from
Germany. Hi, Carissa from Germany. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Do you have a question for Diane?
Yeah, I didn't get to hear the beginning of the show, but I do have a question. You say that to lower the blood sugar, do you usually use metformin to do that?
Metformin, or Glucophage, is a medication that's been around for over 50 years. It was initially used to treat patients with diabetes, and it is used for people with PCOS. But what people don't realize is how that medication works. And the way it works, it's a good medication, very, very good medication for PCOS. Mm-hmm. The way that it, what it does in the body is, I don't know if the listeners are aware, but I'm going to tell you something pretty interesting. Every time anyone goes more than 5 hours without eating, their liver automatically dumps a load of sugar into the bloodstream. So if I eat breakfast at 7 a.m. and I don't eat until 1 in the afternoon, at about noon, without my asking, my liver is going to automatically self-feed. Metformin's job is to go to the liver and tell the liver in a person with PCOS, if you're going to feed me at the fifth hour, that's okay, but how about some crackers instead of a bagel? It basically tells the liver, don't release as much sugar in the self-feeding mode. So in that way, it lowers the insulin release. It's a very smart drug because it's going to help decrease insulin release by decreasing blood sugar from the liver.
Okay, well, there's something that I've noticed, and I was hoping you could help explain this to me. Because
mm-hmm.
I knew that I've had PCOS for 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and I took metformin all the way up until March. And that entire time, I could never lose weight. And all my blood work, every time I went in for a checkup, was always screwed up.
Okay.
And I never got my periods, but then when I went off of the metformin in March, ever mm-hmm. since, I've had my period every month. All my blood work comes back fine. I don't understand why, now that I'm not taking it, that it's my body doing what it's supposed to.
Did you change your lifestyle at all, like in terms of diet and exercise? I know that
I started working out every day, almost every day, and then dieting a lot. Dieting, but changing my lifestyle, not drinking anything except for water, cutting back on white stuff, sugar, flour.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, whole grains and more low-fat proteins.
See, I could explain then, I believe I could explain what happened. The only thing the metformin really does is it suppresses the liver from releasing sugar. But the other half of the equation, or more than half, is the carbohydrate you put in your mouth and the amount of blood sugar you burn off from exercise. So when you get rid of the metformin, which is just taking care of the liver's release, but you made big changes in your diet. You said that, you know, whole grains, which are definitely better for insulin release, you exercised more, you got rid of sweetened drinks. Every one of those things helped the insulin without using a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people with PCOS that use metformin, and the metformin does an excellent job, and it does suppress the liver, but never alone will metformin work. You've got to do the metformin with what you did. You increased activity, and you took the sugar-producing foods and lowered them. So you did the perfect thing, and it turned out that you got results without needing the medication.
My doctor just told me to start taking 850 milligrams 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants me to take creatine also, which is something I don't understand. I have a German doctor, so I have a hard time understanding him. But anything I've looked up on the creatine, because I'm not losing weight right now on my own, even though I've changed all this.
Yeah.
But he wants me to take a lot of metformin and take creatine, which I don't get.
Okay, so metformin is used commonly to block that liver's release. So that we know, and honestly, in terms of medication, it's called a benign medication. It has very few side effects. It's been around forever. That's a pretty high dose. Your doctor has to call the shot on that. That's a lot of metformin. Okay.
Yeah.
It will not work unless you, well, I'm going to, and this isn't a sales pitch for my book, believe me, except I know the book works. So I'm telling you, if you give a read to, the book is called The Metabolism Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's up to you and your physician if you keep the metformin in. I think it's a good medication. And then put that in combination with this program in the Metabolism Miracle, you will see tremendous weight loss because you're stuck now. There's an impasse.
Mm-hmm.
You got to a place where you can't, because the foods you're putting in, even though they're healthier, like whole grains are healthier, they're still stimulating insulin. And what you really need in the body is a rest period where the pancreas gets a total vacation. That's the 8 weeks. And then we rebuild it by putting the whole grains back in. Creatine is a protein component, and it's often used, like athletes will use it to rebuild muscle and give a feeling of energy after a workout. I don't see the relationship between creatine and PCOS.
Yeah, I didn't either when I looked it up. It just,
yeah.
As I could tell, if it was for bodybuilders to build muscle.
It's primarily to replace muscle, yeah.
So I haven't taken it yet because I don't understand why he...
It wouldn't hurt you. Like, creatine won't hurt you. Creatine is pretty much natural. It's just that I don't see where it's going to help. So it would not hurt to take it. I don't see the help. I think that you should ask the physician if that dose of metformin is really necessary, or could you try a little less? And try the program in the book with that, with the metformin and exercise. And honestly, within a month you'll see a difference, but within 2 months you will see a major difference in your weight, in how you feel, energy, because all those things are related to blood sugar, and your blood sugar's off.
Okay,
it's not
okay.
Your
thank you. Well, where can I buy the book?
Oh, Carissa, that was my next point, Carissa. I'm going to send you the book. You're calling from all the way in Germany, I will send you a book, Compliments of Diane.
Wunderbar.
So Carissa, can you email me at media@pcoschallenge.com? Email me your address, and we'll get a book off to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My questions. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we have some more callers. And caller, area code 301, do you have a question for Diane?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have similar symptoms like the cold who just called before.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing is that I have never had a problem with my period. I've never had a problem having any of my children. But for the last 6 years, 5 years, the doctor said I had had the syndrome, and I can't lose any of the weight. I take the glucophage. I'm still very tired.
Right.
I barely eat carbs. I don't eat red meat. I don't eat pork. I am a sugar eater. That I am.
Yes.
But
when you say, well, what I wanted to tell you is, people with PCOS have this alternate metabolism. What I was saying a little bit earlier is there are two different metabolisms on the planet. The one is metabolism A, and these are people who can succeed on a calories in, calories out, low-fat diet. It works. Just about 45% of people have metabolism B. Now, people that men could have metabolism B, it's not strictly a woman-dominated metabolism, goes both ways. It comes from a family member in your backdrop that had adult diabetes. Do you know that person, someone in your family?
Yeah, my mom at 55,
mm-hmm.
And when I was pregnant with my last child, I had gestational diabetes.
Right. So see, whenever you have metabolism B, you could rest assured that someone in your backdrop had diabetes. You may not know them, you know, could be an aunt or an uncle, but the gene came to you from that side of the family. Now,
mm-hmm.
That determined that you would have a metabolism that doesn't respond well to carbohydrate. And people think of carbs and they say, well, you know what, I cut the carbs out. I don't eat bread, I don't eat potato, nothing white, but they might be sugar eaters. And I think that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, your body doesn't discern in terms of insulin whether you're eating hummus and brown rice or if you're eating something that's sweet. Both of those items make your blood sugar rise, and both of them require insulin. So what I'm saying is when you eat the sugary thing, unlike normal metabolism that will respond with normal insulin, that sugary item makes your blood sugar go up, and you respond with too much insulin insulin is a fat gain hormone. So every time you're eating carbohydrate, you might have cut out 60% of your carbs. But right now, the other 40% are causing you to release too much fat gain hormone. So the initial 8 weeks where you take the carb way down low will put your body, instead of a fat building mode, that's what you're doing now, you're building too much fat, it will put your body into a fat burning mode. And you would see weight loss. You would see fat loss. And you would learn the foods that don't trigger insulin and the foods that do. And then through life, you'll be able to make real easy decisions. Like, that's not a food that bothers me. I could go pretty heavily on that. This is a food that trips up my insulin. I have to be careful. And so you might not have the symptoms of PCOS, like the, like you said, you have children, you had gestational diabetes, which shows them at B, but you definitely have the other metabolism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm like waxing every 2 days. I'm going, oh, my God, I'm going to be a man soon.
Yeah. And so with that, see, when insulin is off, I always tell people this, insulin is the heavy hitter hormone. So when it's off, it will throw all your other hormones. So until you get it under control, you're going to make too much of the androgen. And that hair, you're right, it doesn't get better. It's,
no.
It's getting worse. So it'll take a while. And when your insulin settles down, it's not instantaneous. It takes a while for the excess hair growth to start to diminish, but it will diminish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that, you know, you're going to go to become someone that has absolutely no hair growth, but this excess hormone that's causing it will help to come back in line.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, caller, and I hope Diane answered your question. We have quite a few more callers. And also, I need to take a break, but when we come back, Diane, I'd love for you to tell us why other diets have failed women with PCOS.
Yeah, I certainly will.
Okay.
This is naturopathic physician Dr. Julie Walsh. Most doctors will tell you that PCOS is a hormonal issue, and while your hormones are affected, there is much more to PCOS. I will teach you the truth behind what causes PCOS, and more importantly, what you can do to correct the underlying causes easily and permanently without the use of harsh medication. Join me for the PCOS Challenge Expert Series Workshop, The Natural Solution to Overcoming PCOS, on Tuesday, November 17, 2009 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will learn how to bring your body back to balance naturally.
This is Dr. Gretchen Kubacki. Are you a woman with PCOS who is struggling with depression, anxiety, or even thoughts of suicide? Well, you are not alone. These disorders are much more common in women with PCOS. Join me for the PCOS Challenge Expert Series Workshop, Living Happier and Healthier with PCOS, on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2009 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will learn how to cope with the psychological issues that often come with PCOS. As both a psychologist and a PCOS patient, I will address the psychological issues and coping skills necessary for thriving with polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay, you all heard two of the experts that will be featured in the PCOS Challenge Expert Series that starts on October 20th, 2009 at 8 p.m. For more information on the PCOS Challenge Expert Series, go to www.pcoschallenge.net. All right, we're on with Diane Kress, our special guest. And Diane, could you please let people know how they can contact you?
Sure. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the program, this Metabolism Miracle, the website that you would look for would be www.themetabolismmiracle.com. And there's a really good website that gives tremendous amount of information about the program, about how to contact me if you have like a question that you want to run by me. There's actually an email address there, dietquestions@aol.com. And, you know, I'll take a couple minutes and answer whatever you've got. If you don't get on tonight, I'll be happy to do that. That's probably the best way to learn more about the program and to reach me through the AOL address.
Okay, great. And so we have another book to give away. So another lucky listener will get the Metabolism Miracle. And if I do choose you, send me your address at send me your address at media@pcoschallenge.com. Okay, so Diane, you had a cute little anecdote about two friends going shopping in the book.
Yeah.
I particularly like this section.
I did. I like writing that. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, because I could relate.
Me too. Which is how it got in there. Yeah, I think that little story answers a lot about what women with PCOS go through. You know, you hang out with women. Some of your friends have metabolism A, some are Bs. If you're hanging out with someone with metabolism A, normal metabolism, maybe you don't realize that they don't feel like you do in the course of a shopping experience, which is what that story is about. Should I tell a little bit about it?
Yes, please do. Please do.
The story goes like this, and I used it in the book because I wanted women to realize that everybody feels, it's all relative to how you feel. You think, maybe, that everybody feels the way you do because you can only compare it to yourself. How do you know? But what we now know is that, let's say you and your friend are going shopping for the day, and before you leave, you guys decide to stop for a bagel and a cup of coffee. And don't forget, your friend has a normal metabolism, and you have this metabolism B. You guys eat exactly the same thing. You have, a whole wheat bagel, you put light cream cheese on it, and you have a cup of black coffee, just to simplify this. You would think that because a bagel is a bagel, they're the same food, you're eating the same amount of calories, that your body would process that bagel the same way. But you couldn't be more wrong. The woman that has normal metabolism, when she eats the bagel, her blood sugar rises, her pancreas puts out exactly the right amount of insulin, the insulin opens exactly the right amount of cells, and her blood sugar goes right into the normal range, and she feels full for 4 to 5 hours, which just blows me away. Someone with metabolism B will eat the same bagel. Their blood sugar will go up to the same degree. But because of their genes, their pancreas is going to release more insulin. Insulin will then open more fat cells. So when they go to move that bagel from their bloodstream into their fat cells, they have extra cells opened. And in order to appease them, their body will double dip in their normal blood sugar to feed the fat cells. So these two women ate the same size bagel. The one processed it in equilibrium and feels terrific for 4 to 5 hours. The other opened excess fat cells. She got fatter, literally, but her blood sugar was left lower. So about an hour after, 2 hours after she eats the bagel, she's thinking, I could really use a piece of chocolate. She looks at her friend, and her friend is like busy shopping away, not thinking, and you start to get a little embarrassed. You're thinking, wait a minute, didn't we just have that bagel like an hour or 2 hours ago? So you try to ignore it, and sure enough, if you get a craving, right before lunch, you're absolutely famished, because don't forget, you spend a lot of your life not with high blood sugar, but with low blood sugar. And until you get something in your mouth to pick that blood sugar up, you're out of it. So you're cranky, you're irritable, you're depressed, your mind is on nothing but when could I get something to eat. Your friend doesn't feel any of that. So it's very difficult because you may think, I have no willpower, I have no self-control, what am I doing? I'm trying to lose weight, I'm grabbing pretzels with it. It's not your fault. You're walking around from too much insulin with a lot of mildly low blood sugar that sets you up to go find carbohydrate. So we become carb addicts. And it's not because of an emotional or psychological problem. It's a physical problem. So,
you know, and I'm happy to know
yes.
that, you know, that there is an actual reason.
I know, because you start to think, what is wrong? I'm an intelligent woman. I know I need to lose weight. The doctor said go lose 10 pounds. What am I doing looking for pretzels and chocolate? What am I? What's wrong?
Yep.
It's not your fault. If your brain sends you to go find food to bring your blood sugar up, you're going to listen. It's your brain.
Yeah. Well, Diane, I have to tell you what's going on in the chat room right now.
Okay.
There is a woman there who's used the metabolism miracle, and she's lost 25 pounds.
Woo!
And she's been able to keep it off. And she said, I just want to go and hug Diane.
Come on. I love hugs. You want to know something funny? I swear to you, this happened today. When I see a patient, you'd be shocked. Like, in a normal office, this probably doesn't happen, but my office doesn't run normally. It's because we all relate. I get hugged every day. People just come over, and they grab me, and they hug me, and it's such a cool thing because there's an answer. You know,
yes.
And oh,
yes.
So good. Well, congratulations
Absolutely.
To that person. I'm very
yes.
happy for them.
And also their Shell. She said she can identify with the friend with metabolism B, whose other friend ate the bagel and
what?
Had the diff because she said she's been dieting with her cousin and her cousin's been losing weight and she hasn't. So she knows exactly what's wrong with her now.
So frustrating. You could go to these groups, you know, group weight reduction program, and you're on a calorie-based diet, and you follow it to the letter, and you go for a weekly weigh-in. People with metabolism B can literally gain weight every week. They go back, they get on the scale moves up, and the whole
yeah.
room goes, oh,
yeah.
Well, it's not, huh?
Yeah.
They don't have a problem. They don't have a hormonal imbalance, so they
mm-hmm.
cut their calories. It works.
Yes,
yeah.
And then you kind of feel ashamed and you never
yes.
go back to the meeting.
And you
so.
Feel like a failure, and
yeah,
you're
yeah.
not the failure. The diet failed you.
Yes.
And
well, yes, everyone wants to hug you in the chat room
come.
Right now.
Everybody, air hug.
Well, yeah, so can we get into why other diets don't work? For women with PCOS and people with metabolism B. What about traditional diets? We have a little over 15 minutes left, so we're going to go through these diets quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First, traditional weight loss program.
Do you hear, is this clear now or is there an echo?
Yes, I can hear.
Okay. On my end, it's coming through like an echo. Traditional weight loss program is always based on calories in, calories out. It will work. For 55% of the population will never work in the long term for someone with metabolism B because it's not focusing on the nutrient that we have a problem with. Even the diet that's used for diabetes, and don't forget, I'm a diabetes educator.
Right.
I belong to the American Diabetes Association. So that's there. But let me tell you, the diet for diabetes is 55% carbohydrate. Now,
wow.
How could you give a person that overprocesses carbohydrate a program where over half the calories come from the nutrient that they can't handle? What happens over time is from a 55% carb diet, someone with metabolism B is going to slowly tire out their pancreas, and you end up needing more and more and more medication. Just don't get me on that subject. That's very close to my heart because I have metabolism B, PCOS. I also have type 2 diabetes. And I tell you true, if I knew what I know now, I would never have type 2 diabetes now. But when I became pre-diabetic, I'm a diabetes educator. I followed the ADA diet to the letter. And I ended up at the age of 38, I was on four different medications, two for diabetes, one for cholesterol, one for high blood pressure. At my age now, which will go unnamed, I don't take any medication. It is not because I don't believe in medication. If I need it, I take it. I don't need the medication anymore, but I don't follow a diet that's 55% carb based on calories, and nothing like it. And it has changed my entire health, my mind, my ability to focus, concentrate, and, you know, my health. So
wow.
Traditional diet does work if you have traditional metabolism. It does. I teach it every day. Teach it
mm-hmm.
if you've got metabolism B.
Good. So what about fad diets? And can you explain to us what fad diets are?
Well, yeah, you know what? Fad diets, you'll know it's a fad because it will make no sense. And for example, if somebody says to you, I'm making this up to protect the, you know, what's out there.
Yes.
Say
yes.
You come up with the 5-banana-a-day diet, and you say to somebody, you know what? If you follow the 5-banana-a-day diet, you're going to be able to lose weight. All you eat in a day is 5 bananas. Well, initially, you're going to lose weight because calorically, you're taking in X amount of calories, and that is, you know, you're basically in a starvation mode. But if you're a B, just so that you know, every one of those bananas is carbohydrate. So after about a week, you're on the 5-banana-a-day diet. Everybody else, because they're calorie deprived, is losing. You start to gain because the calories you're putting in your mouth are affecting your insulin. So there is no fad to this. This is really important. What's wrong with us is scientific. PCOS isn't some mystical, magical thing. It is a physical anomaly. We know what it is. We know what's going on in the body with it. And if you think of your body as a machine and you know where the broken part is, you want to go in and work with that part. You don't want to work against it. So there isn't any magical, like, you know, stand on your head for 10 minutes and eat a 1,200-calorie diet and you'll lose weight. That isn't going to solve the problem. The problem inherently is a hormonal imbalance. You have to address that. You can't
yes.
address the hormonal imbalance with calories. It's like apples and oranges. It doesn't work.
Yes, and I thought this was very important for you to address, because every day I get another question: what about the so-and-so diet? What about the so-and-so diet?
I know, and you know,
people are really frustrated. I understand that people are really frustrated, and they are willing to try anything.
And I understand that too. And I will tell you from the heart, because, you know, I never in my life envisioned writing a book. That was the last thing I would. If somebody told me 10 years ago you're going to write a book, I'd say, yeah, like, I have time for that. When I found this out, I could not get this out to people to help them, because I'm in those shoes. In fact, I rode the train all the way to diabetes. And being overweight and being sick and feeling awful. And I know that, like, the frustration. But you don't know, I spent almost 30 years of my life to find this answer, and I wasn't giving up. I just thank God that in my lifetime the research was available where I was able to put it all together. Everything had to align. The stars had to align, and the science is all there now. So it's very, you know, you could do it. But I understand the frustration, and I also understand you get to a point where you say, forget it, I'm just, what, you know, there's no hope for me. And
well,
there,
you know what,
there
is hope, and I have a question from Marcy,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to know if you had any experience with women with PCOS who have had a gastric banding.
Yeah.
She had one done mm-hmm. in 2005. She lost 60 pounds mm-hmm. and then gained the weight back. She said now she's at 300 pounds.
Right,
and
Marcy.
She's been on and off metformin. Marcy. Now she wants to know what to do.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you that I feel I'm thrilled that this question came up. When they banded your stomach, they did not band your pancreas and your insulin. There is no way. What they did originally is they took a stomach that could hold 5 to 7 cups of contents, and they put a band around it so that it could hold a couple ounces. So initially, when you would eat, you could only fit X amount of food in there. And so calorically, you were in a state of starvation. So in the very beginning, with only that much capacity, you're going to lose weight. But in time, that band adjusts, and the stomach capacity increases just enough that you could put the amount of carbohydrate in that will stimulate insulin. Every person that has metabolism B, and I will stand by this, and I'll stand by this and fight for this. If you have a gastric bypass or a gastric band and you have metabolism B, you will for about a year to a year and a half lose weight. And just about at a year and a half, even with the bypass, you're going to stop losing and you're going to start regaining, and it's not your fault. And nobody bothered to tell you that you can't bypass or band an overactive pancreas.
She said, yep.
it's true. You can't do it. And so what happens, because I see these patients all the time at my practice, so they come back now. They've had the band or the bypass, and they're really upset because they went through a surgical procedure, and it looked like it was going to work, and they're like, yes. And then all of a sudden, doing nothing different, there's a change. That's a hormonal imbalance of insulin. So guess what? The program I have to teach them, but now they're banded or bypassed, is this program that I would have taught them before they banded or bypassed. Because it is what it is. It's too much insulin. You can't band-aid it. You have to get to the source and fix it.
Absolutely.
So not to despair. That band isn't going to, if it's still in, it's not going to cause a problem for you right now. Seriously look into this program. You'll start to lose weight again very soon because not because of magic, but because it rests the insulin. It does what it's supposed to do.
Now, Marcy, is this program, the Metabolism Miracle, easy to follow, easy to start, easy to complete, or is there a completion date?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The Metabolism Miracle.
Did I say Marcy? Diane.
Okay. Diane. I'm wondering what's Marcy going to say. Well, Diane will tell you this. Initially, the first 3 days of a program that is cutting your insulin back, you will feel like you were hit by a truck. So I tell you that going in. You're on a train. The train is going 100 miles an hour with insulin, and we need to put the brakes on it. So think about a train flying and you apply the brakes. It takes a couple days for your body to adjust, and it is 3 days. On the fourth day of this program, you will, this isn't conjecture or fadism, it's fact based on the body. You're going to wake up, and anybody that follows the program will tell you, from day 4 to 5 on, you have no hunger, you don't have carb cravings, you're not irritable, you feel a sense of peace. Because for the first time, your body's at peace. You can eat out from day 1 on this program. You don't have to buy special food. You don't have to eat at home. You don't have to bring your lunch. You're able to buy foods in the general way, in a restaurant, anywhere, and accommodate any phase of the program. Phase 2, the second step where you're teaching the body how to use carb, everything that you ate in the first step stays. And you're adding, in a very methodical way that's taught in the book, carbohydrate on top of that food. You're not giving anything up. You follow the second step until you love your body. By then, it's functioning beautifully. When you get to the size you love, there's a maintenance phase, which isn't really a diet. It's a way of life, and that's where I live. Like, you know, I've done this program now for over 10 years. I don't live on the weight reduction pieces. I live on maintenance. And that's just the way, it's a way I live because I make too much insulin.
Yes. I have a few more questions. I have a caller. There's so many people wanting to ask you questions. However, the time is running short. But I'll take another caller, and this is caller from area code 480. Do you have a question for Diane?
Not bad.
Hi, Diane. Hi, Sasha. This is Erica from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi,
Hi, how are you? I'm getting treatment right now at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. They just diagnosed that I have PCOS. My mom is a diabetic. She just got diabetes like a year or two ago. And I think I've always had PCOS ever since I was like 13 because I always had irregular periods. Mm-hmm. They just masked it with birth control, and now they're telling me to maybe try extended-release metformin because I was on metformin for a while with previous doctors before Mayo Clinic in February is when the first endocrinologist told me to go on it. But I had bad, like, GI problems with it. And my question is basically, you know, I've heard all these different things, like the Insulite program that helps PCOS, you know, extended metformin. Like, I'm still gaining weight. Like, I'm doing, like, a low GI diet. So I'm eating, like, whole grains and different things. And I just want, like, help. Like, I want to lose the weight and, like, be normal and, like, feel better. So.
All right. Let me just say that the metformin and the extended-release metformin, the side effect in about 10% of the population is GI trouble. The way it should be reinstated, you haven't taken it for a while, you never put it in at full strength initially. You put it in, if your dose is going to be 850 three times a day, I'm just using the other caller's dose, for 1 week she would only take 850. The next week, two times 850. And the third week, three times 850. If you put it in all at once, there is potential for bloating, diarrhea, kind of gas, just GI upset. So talk to your doctors at the Mayo Clinic about introducing it slowly if they're going
okay.
to. The reason that the low GI diet is not working is because your body needs a break. See, GI is the speed at which food turns into blood sugar. The speed right now isn't the problem. Right now the problem is a pancreas on overdrive. So you're going to need a pair. You run this by the people at Mayo because they will have to agree with this. This isn't something that I'm pulling out of my hat. You have a right now something called glucose toxicity where your blood sugar is acting like almost like a toxin in the body. So you have to give it a rest. And then after 8 weeks, the carb, when it's reintroduced, will be low GI. And it'll be spread out very carefully through the day so that you don't whack the pancreas again and upset it. You're always going to have a touchy pancreas. So through life, you rest it, and then you bring it back gently, and you'll continue to lose weight. And then when you get to the last step, which is lifestyle, you just know how to maintain carb intake. It's not your fault that you're not losing now. And metformin, the only thing it does for PCOS is it tells the liver, don't feed so much. But it's not taking care of the blood sugar from food. It's taking care of the liver's release. So it's got to be metformin and a rest for the pancreas. If you only do the one and don't rest the pancreas, you're going to be stuck where you don't lose weight.
Okay. I also suggested ovarian drilling, the gynecologist. They said that would help, I guess, but I'm not quite sure if it'll totally help. I mean, it should help the testosterone. What is your opinion on that, the ovarian drilling?
Well, the only thing I could tell you is run by your physicians the idea that before you make a judgment call like that, would they give you 8 weeks to come back and recheck your hormonal levels, do the program, take the metformin, exercise, and do the program that's the Metabolism Miracle. Go back in 8 weeks or let them draw blood in 8 weeks and let them see what's going on hormonally in terms of not so much the insulin, then let them look at the reproductive hormones. You might not need the drilling. I don't know your case, but I'm not a medical doctor. So they, you know, but I'm going to tell you, before I would do something drastic, I know that you haven't done a rest for the insulin. I know that. So,
right.
You know, what's a couple more weeks to see that. If you get, a positive result? And I know you will.
Okay.
So
okay. Thank you, caller.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes. Diane, we have run out of time.
Oh.
Unfortunately,
I would love to have you back on.
Oh, I want to come back.
Thank you, thank you. Well, you know, we'll work the details out because
good.
There are people really wanting to hear what you have to say.
Excellent.
Can you pick a winner? Let's see, Marcy or Sherzelle?
Well, I'm sorry. Sherzelle, I'm sorry, but because I've been called Marcy repeatedly in this show, I'm going to pick Marcy because I think I've got some kind of flash. It should be Marcy. I don't know. I hate to do that, but that's what I would say.
Okay. So Marcy is the winner, and the Metabolism Miracle book, Compliments of Diane Kress. Diane, thank you so much for being on the
welcome.
PCOS Challenge Radio Show.
Great.
Yes, and I'm so excited that you're willing to come back on.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I can't wait. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much, and
right,
we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.